الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. ما بعد، we continue after quite a break, and breaks are nice, but the only thing which is not nice about them is that you're cut off from knowledge, and that's something which you can never take a break from. Because if you take a break from knowledge, you will forget it. That's just the way it works. That's why some people memorize the Quran, then they forget it. Or they're made to forget it. Be more particular. And they can memorize Sahih Bukhari and then forget the Sahih Bukhari. If you don't always, you know, maintain and review and go back to that information which you have acquired, you will forget it. SubhanAllah. That's just the nature of the son of Adam. That's why these breaks actually are double-edged sword. On the one hand, you know, you kind of relax. On the other hand, you forget what you had learned. You have to start from scratch. And it's not good to start from scratch. But hopefully, inshallah, your brothers had the chance to at least read some of the notes and you're up to date with what's going on. In our last session, we were dealing with the issue of Qadr. Walaikum salam. Welcome, akhi. Please close the door behind you. Barakallahu feek. Shukran. We were dealing with the issue of Qadr. And in particular, we said that the people of deviance are mainly categorized as either Qadariya or Jabariya when it comes to the issue of Qadr. Qadariya, those who deny Qadr, as in they say, Allah didn't decree the things which you do. It wasn't decreed. Allah gave you some options, a few options, and then you're able to choose within these options. But Allah did not know what you will choose, which is a very serious accusation against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the other hand, the other extreme is the Jabariya from Jabr, who say that you anta majburun ala ma taf'aluh. You're compulsed, you're forced, you have no choice but to do what it has been decreed for you to do. In other words, they deny the free will. And now imagine, if you didn't have a free will, then what's the point of any act of worship? Why would you make dua? If there was no free will, if everything Allah had decreed, you're simply like a puppet, you know, living it and materializing it, what's the point of making dua? What's the point of reciting the Fatiha? What's the point of any ibadah? What's the point? It'll become pointless. Because what has been destined for you in this regard, without you having something to do with it, is just going to come to pass. And so your act of worship makes absolutely no difference. So this accusation actually, it kind of denies the essence of our religion, which is based on striving to earn paradise and striving to avoid hellfire. So these people went, you know, really, you know, wild in their understanding, or let's say their lack of understanding. Now, we stopped at the following statement of Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah. وَيَغْلُوا فِيهَا قَوْمٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْإِثْبَاتِ حَتَّى سَلَبُوا الْعَبْدَ قُدْرَتَهُ وَاخْتِيَارَهُ وَيُخْرِجُونَ عَنْ أَفْعَالِ اللَّهِ وَأَحْكَامِ حُكَمِهَا وَمَصَالِحِهَا حِكَمِهَا وَمَصَالِحِهَا. Another group exaggerated concerning affirming the decree of Allah, until they denied the slave's ability and his choice in totality, like I told you earlier. And furthermore, they rendered the actions of Allah and His rulings as something which lacks wisdom and benefit. We will see why. Shaykh bin Uthaymeen rahimahullah says, يَغْلُ فِيهَا أي فِي هَذِهِ الدَّرَجَةِ. In this degree, in this matter of Qadr, there's a group who goes to extremes. They exaggerated. قَوْمٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْإِثْبَاتِ. A group from the people of Ithbat, أي إثباتُ القدر. Meaning those who affirm Qadr. Those who affirm decree. Again, we're speaking about the sixth pillar of faith. The belief in Qadr. And that there are people who say that it is so firm and fixed that you have nothing to do with anything. Nothing to do with anything. وَهَؤُلَاءِ الْقَوْمُ هُمُ الْجَبَرِيَّةِ. حيث إنهم سلبوا العبد قدرته واختياره وقالوا إليه إنه مجبر على عمله لأنه مكتوب عليه. So they denied the person's choice and ability, and they said, you simply do what you are forced to do. Meaning now, you came here because Allah forced you to come here. You had no choice. According to them, you didn't have a choice. Allah decreed you were going to come, and so here you are. You are uninvolved in this process. But in real life, do you feel this way? Now we know Allah decreed that you come here, because if Allah didn't decree for you to come here, you would have never made it here. Fair enough. But did you not have a will? Did you not say to yourself, today I'm going to go to the dars, next week I'm not? Huh? You're already planning for next week, huh? Fine. We'll see. Isn't that something that you feel? I mean, it's something natural. Doesn't take three to figure it out. One person is enough. You had the will. But it's as Allah said, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. You don't will until Allah will. So Allah affirmed that will for you after He had affirmed that will for Himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala. عَلَى كُلِّ حَالٍ قَوْلُوا وَيُخْرِجُونَ عَنْ أَفْعَالِ اللَّهِ وَأَحْكَامِهِ حِكَمِهَا وَمَصَالِحَهَا وَيُخْرِجُونَ مَعْطُوفَةٌ عَلَى قَوْلِهِ يَغْلُو. That's grammar, and so it's irrelevant to us now. وَوَجُ كَوْنِهِمْ يُخْرِجُونَ الْحِكَمْ وَالْمَصَالِحَ عَنْ أَفْعَالِ اللَّهِ وَأَحْكَامِهِ أَنَّهُمْ لَا يُثْبِتُونَ لِلَّهِ حِكْمَةً أَوْ مَصْلَحَةً فَهُوَ يَفْعَلُ وَيَحْكُمُ لِمُجَرَّدْ مَشِيئَةً ولهذا يثيب المطيع وإن كان مجبرا على الفعل ويعاقب العاصي وإن كان مجبرا على الفعل. Why do we say they're actually, you know, they're denying the wisdom behind Allah's actions? Because they neither affirm a benefit nor do they affirm a wisdom for Allah. Why? Because they say Allah does whatever He wants according to His will. So He will reward the obedient one even though He forced him to be obedient. And He will punish the disobedient even though He forced him to be disobedient. Is that wise? No. So when they claim that, وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ, they're saying that Allah, there's no wisdom behind Allah's actions, nor is there a benefit. Because He forced this person to obey Him, then He gave him ajr for it. He forced that other person to disobey Him, then He would punish him for it. And so that doesn't make any sense, to claim that Allah is like that. ومن المعلوم أن المجبر لا يستحق الحمد على المحمود ولا الذم على مذموم لأنه بغير اختيار. And we know that anyone who's forced to do something, he should not be praised for that praiseworthy thing which he did, because he did it while he's forced. And if someone does something that is blameworthy but he was forced to do it, he's not also to be blamed either. You know what I'm saying? So if the teacher says, you know, be quiet, and you're still talking. Be quiet, and you're still talking. Be quiet, and you're still. And then the teacher smacks you across the head. Then you're quiet because you're hurting. No one's gonna say, "Okay, good. Now you're quiet." I mean, you had no choice but to be quiet. Otherwise, she was gonna throw you out of the class. So you didn't do anything which deserves praise. You didn't do it willingly. It was something that was imposed on you. That's like someone puts a gun to your head to say, "Give him 1 riyal sabaka." And you're like, "I don't want to." I said, "Give him 1 riyal. Say, "Okay, here." Say, "Zakallah khair, wallah, brother, you're very generous." For what? Somebody was going to kill him if he didn't give 1 riyal. Do we praise him for that sabaka? No, because he was forced to do it. So with this idea, when Allah then, you know, deal, if, according to them, he forces a person to obey Him, then you're not going to praise Him for being obedient, because we can blame qadar. Say, "Oh, akhi, you only prayed on time because Allah decreed for you to pray on time. You didn't do anything." But that's not true. And if that was the case, then that's not fair. That Allah decreed and forced you to pray on time, and He decreed and forced another person to miss salah, with you having absolutely nothing to do with it. This is injustice. And we know that it's the other way around. Rather, Allah Azza wa Jal gave everyone the choice, and He commanded us, "Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara," protect yourselves from the fire. How? If you're forced, then there's no point in telling you to do anything, because it's going to happen. And you have no choice in it. So, you know, it is odd how these people come up with these wild, outlandish, interpretations of the deen. But, alhamdulillah, for giving us this basic understanding. Now, here's the part that is interesting. وَهُنَا مَسْأَلَةٌ يَحْتَجُّ بِهَا كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ الْعُصَاتِ. Now, here comes the subject matter concerning which many of the disobedient people used to argue. إذا أنكرت عليه المنكر, if you catch one of them doing something wrong, قال هذا هو ما قدره الله عليه. You know, you catch him smoking. You say, "أخي, why are you smoking?" Says it's the qadr of Allah, akhi. It's the qadr of Allah that I'm a smoker and that you're not. So they try to use the qadr as what? As an excuse to justify their sin. That Allah decreed it for me. You know, what do you want me to do? I have no choice in it. فَيَحْتَزُّ بِالْقَدَرِ عَلَى مَعَاصِ اللَّهِ. He will then use the qadr of Allah as an excuse for his disobedience and sinful behavior. وَيَقُولُ أَنَا عَبْدٌ مُسَيَّرٌ. You say, I'm a coerced slave. I'm musayyar, meaning I have no choice, no free will. I'm coerced, I'm forced to do what I'm doing. ثُمَّ يَحْتَزُّ أَيْضًا بِحَدِيثٍ. Here's the problem now. Then he will bring you a hadith. And of course, you know that almost everybody will claim that they're following the Quran and the Sunnah. Even the most deviant people, when you tell them, why are you deviant? They will use the Quran and the Sunnah to justify their deviance. Example. قال الذين غلبوا على أمرهم لنتخذن عليهم مسجدا. Now this ayah is speaking about an historical event where those people who were in charge after the youth in the cave had passed away, they said that we would build a place of worship over them. Okay? And it was simply Allah telling us what the people who were leaders back then, and many of the ulama say they were mushrikeen, this is what they decided to do. Allah did not approve of that, nor did He endorse it, nor did He say anything praiseworthy. He only mentioned what happened. Those who now build, you know, construction and these adriha around the grave sites, they will tell you, the Quran says, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ غَلَبُوا عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِمْ لَنَتَّخِذَنَّ عَلَيْهِمْ مَسْجِدًا. And they use the ayah from the book of Allah to justify their worship of the dead and the building of construction around the dead. So now, what are they using? The Quran. The Sunnah, of course, puts an end to it. لَعَنَ اللَّهُ الْيَهُودَ وَالنَّصَارَىٰ اتَّخَذُوا قُبُورَ أَنْبِيَائِهِمْ مَسَاجِدٍ. The Prophet ﷺ, among the last things he said before he passed away, may Allah curse the Jews and the Christians, they took the grave sites of their prophets as places of worship. And Aisha said, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا, commenting on this hadith, he's saying that, warning the Muslims from their action. I mean, we have many narrations, وَعَلَيْكُمْ سَلَامُ, many narrations to that effect. It's a done deal. So people use the Quran and the Sunnah for their deviance. The Shia, alayhim la'natullah, they say that you can marry 9 women. And you can marry 9 women according to the Quran and the Sunnah. You say, what? You say, what? No way. They will tell you, yes. And some of you already heard that before. They say, Allah says, فَانْكِحُوا مَا طَابَ لَكُم مِّنَ النِّسَاءِ مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَعَ. مَثْنَى is 2. ثُلَاثَ is 3, that's 5. رُبَعَ is 4, that's 9. Then they tell you, and the Messenger of Allah, how many did he marry? He died, alayhi salam, when he had 9 women. So they say, now even the Sunnah confirms that you can marry 9. The Quran and the Sunnah say you can marry 9. And every sound believer knows that you can marry maximum of what?
4.
But they will tell you they follow in the Quran and the Sunnah. So be careful then. Not anyone who quotes Quran and the Sunnah is actually guiding you to the path. This is why we add an additional expression to this concept. We follow the Quran and the Sunnah according to the understanding of our righteous predecessors. During their time, they didn't need to do that because they were the righteous predecessors. They didn't need to say, you have to understand the Quran and Sunnah according to us, because it was only them. And everybody else didn't exist then yet. When deviance came about eventually, it became necessary that we refer our understanding of this Quran and the Sunnah not to Tom, Dick and Harry, but to the Sahaba, the Tabi'een, Atba' al-Tabi'een, the 4 Imams, because these 4 Imams are included in this group of righteous, rightly guided scholars. So we have to understand it as they understood it. Otherwise, everyone will tell you the Quran and the Sunnah. And then the Quran and the Sunnah will, according to them, teach you shirk, and they teach you bid'ah. They tell you bid'ah is okay, and they bring you ayat and narrations. They tell you shirk is okay, they bring you ayat and narrations. And the list goes on. But Allah already warned us about that. He said that in the Quran, ayatun muhkamat, hunna ummul kitab. There are ayat, signs, and verses which are entirely clear. They are the mother of the book. Wa ukharu mutashabihat. Others are ambiguous. So those who have deviance in their heart, they will go fetching for anything which has more than one interpretation. Say, here, I'm following the Quran and the Sunnah. So Allah already warned us. Just in case someone say, well, why did Allah do that? First, you don't have the right to say that. But why is it that there are so many people using the Quran and the Sunnah? Or why are there ayat and narrations which support the deviant ways? We say there aren't. It's just that this is the test. This is the test from Allah. وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً. Shar and evil, evil and good is a fitna. The revelation is a test. For the scholars to be tested, the students of knowledge to be tested, the average people to be tested, so that they will make an effort to obey Allah and enter Jannah. It's not going to happen that easily. It's all part of the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to understand that quite good. Now they use this narration to support their deviant understanding or misunderstanding. But we will see what Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah say in response to that. Tahajja Adam wa Musa. Adam and Musa argued. Alayhima salatu wa salam. Faqala lahu Musa. Musa said to Adam, Anta abuna, you are our father. Khayyabtana wa akhrajtana min al-jannah. You have, you know, failed us. You've disappointed us and you've made us be expelled from Jannah. You caused our expulsion from Jannah. فَقَالَ لَهُ أَدَمُ Adam said to Musa, أَنْتَ مُوسَى You are Musa. اِصْطَفَاقَ اللَّهُ بِكَلَامِهِ Allah chose you by speaking to you directly. وَكَتَبَ لَكَ التَّوْرَاةَ بِيَدِ Allah wrote the Torah for you with His own hand. أَتَلُومَنِي عَلَى مَا قَدَّرَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيَّ قَبْلَ أَن يَخْلُقَنِي بِأَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةً Do you then blame me for that which Allah had decreed for me 40 years before He created me? You understand the conversation? Adam saw Musa. And Musa said to Adam, you know, because of what happened with you, we're out of paradise, you know? Everybody wished to be in paradise all the way. رَحِمَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ وَعَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ And so then Adam said, you know, now he's praising them. Now look how they praise each other. They didn't speak ill of each other. They're praising each other and the virtue that they have. But they have an issue here. They're trying to figure something out. So Adam here said, how do you blame me for something which Allah decreed for me 40 years before He created me? Allah decreed that I will be expelled from Jannah. I will eat from the tree. We already know that. طيب. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فحج آدم موسى قالها ثلاثا So Musa confounded Adam confounded Musa يعني in a sense he beat him in the debate he won the debate the Prophet said three times وعند أحمد رحمه الله فحجه آدم in the narration in Musnad of Imam Ahmad he said that Adam you know defeated him in the argument وهي صريحة في أن آدم غلب موسى بالحجة. طيب, it is clear then that Adam is the one who defeated. You know why this is important? Subhanallah. Look. Now, let's say we didn't have the narration in Ahmad. We only had the first narration. The hadith says فحج آدم موسى. You know what the problem is in this sentence? Who can tell? Who can tell? It's grammar. Yes. What about it? Adamu or Adama, not Kasra. Dhamma or Fatha.
Adamu means Adam defeated Musa.
Excellent.
Adama, Musa defeated Adam.
Beautiful. See how technical that is? That's why you need to learn grammar. Now, if you're reading this text without knowing the text or without the tashkil, the small vowels, Fatha, Dhamma, Kasra, this actually is a serious problem because it can be read two ways and each way will give the opposite meaning. If you say فَحَجَّ آدَمُ مُوسَى آدَمُ becomes the subject of the sentence, the one doing the action. Musa becomes the object of the sentence, the one to whom the action is done. But if you say فَحَجَّ آدَمَ مُوسَى It becomes that Musa is the one who defeated Adam, not Adam defeating Musa. Like in Surah Al-Baqarah, in Surah Al-Baqarah, فَتَلَقَّى ايوه بنو نوح وقلنا يا ادم ايوه فتلقى ادم من ربه كلمات فتلقى ادم who was the one who received it Adam because it's the subject of the sentence he's the one who did the تلقي who's the doer who's the one يعني it was done from Allah عز وجل and like إنما يخشى الله من عباده العلماء because the لفظ الجلالة ends with the فتحة it means the علماء the scholars are the ones doing the action and who are they who is the one whom they fear Allah if you by mistake say إنما يخشى الله من عباده العلماء then you have said that Allah عز وجل fears the scholars والعياذ بالله you would go outside of Islam unintentionally obviously so what I'm saying is it's very technical that's why the Sheikh said because if you read it on its own you could say فتلقى آدم فحج آدم موسى or you can say فحج آدم موسى now موسى adds with it ألف مكسورة so you can put a vowel on it he said the مسند الإمام أحمد in the مسند الإمام أحمد it says فحجه آدم So it becomes clear that the one who defeated was Adam. It doesn't say فَحَجَّ آدَم مُوسَى It says فَحَجَّهُ Now the ضمير المتصل is going back to موسى عليه الصلاة والسلام. So this is very technical but very interesting at the same time. على كل حال قال فهذا آدم لما اعترض عليه موسى احتج عليه بالقدر وآدم نبي وموسى رسول فسكت موسى فلماذا تحتج عليه So this disobedient person will say to you look Here's Adam. When Musa complained, عليه الصلاة والسلام, he used Qadr as an excuse. When Musa said, you know, you got us out of Jannah, he said, look man, Allah decreed this upon me. So now the disobedient will say to you, when they had this conversation, Adam used the Qadr as an excuse. And Adam is a prophet. And Musa is a Rasul, is a messenger. And he didn't complain. Musa did not refute him. Meaning he accepted that answer was actually silencing. So he took that as it is. So now the disobedient will say, then why are you using this against me? So when I fornicate, when I drink alcohol, when I smoke, when I lie, that's the qadr of Allah. So now they're trying to justify it through that hadith. Now here's how they answered it. وَالْجَوَابُ عَلَى حَدِيثِ Adam. There are three answers, or four. Two, according to the deviant groups. The Qadariyah have an answer. The Jabariyah have an answer. And Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah have two answers. One which is stronger than the other. We will get all four. The Qadariyah, أَمَّا عَلَى رَأِي الْقَدَرِيَّةِ فَإِنَّ طَرِيقَتَهُمْ أَنَّ أَخْبَارِ الْآحَادِ لَا تُوجِبُ الْيَقِينِ They have a whole different problem. Their problem is, according to their methodology, أحد. In case you don't know what the أحد, it's a narration narrated by only one narrator at any point in the chain of transmission. Yani at any point in the chain of transmission, there's only one narrator. There aren't three, four, five. So to make it like mutawatir or something, there's only one man. So they say this one man is liable, I mean, could make mistakes. He could, because of this probability, any hadith which comes through when there's one person only at some point in time in the chain of narrators, they say this hadith cannot be taken as yaqeen. It does not give you certainty. قَالُوا وَإِذَا عَرَضَتَ الْعَقْلُ وَجَبَ أَن تُرَدْ First they say the hadith is doubtful, then they go on to say if it negates intellect, you must reject the hadith. If their logic goes against the hadith, then they must automatically, according to them, reject the hadith. Very dangerous. Many of the hadith in Aqidah are hadith ahad, are narrations which were narrated in this fashion. And there's no harm. There's no harm. And you don't have to have many. Otherwise, the Prophet ﷺ had said that whoever sights the moon, in some of the different, one person is enough to come and say, I saw the moon, the crescent, and we're going to fast or break our fast. It's enough to take the opinion of one person. It doesn't have to be multiple. Anyways, there are many evidences to refute the claim that the hadith al-ahad are not reliable. They are just as reliable as any other narration, according to Ahlul Sunnah wal-Jama'ah. So the Qadis Qadariyah say, so, you know, the hadith first is not certain because of there's the hadith ahad. Then if it negates the intellect, we must reject it. They said, وَبِنَا عَلَى ذَلِكَ قَالُوا هَذَا لَا يَصُحُ وَلَا نَكْبَلُهُ وَلَا نُسَلِمْ بِهِ They said, this hadith is inauthentic, we don't accept it, and we won't submit to it. So they disregarded the hadith altogether. The other crazy people, the Jabariyah, فقالوا إن هذا هو الدليل. They said, this is the evidence we've been looking for. See, you forced to do everything. Adam said to Musa that it was a decree of Allah. فَدَلَالَتُهُ حَقٌّ وَلَا يُلَازِمْ الْعَبْدَ عَلَى مَا يَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ. So now they use this hadith to justify that you don't have a choice. Everything you do was imposed on you, and you're simply gonna, live up or to whatever Allah decreed for you. You have nothing to do with it. أَمَّا أَهْلُ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ, the people of Sunnah and the Jama'ah, قَالُوا إِنْ فَقَالُوا إِنَّ آدَمَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ فَعَلَ الذَّنْبَ وَصَارَ ذَنْبُهُ سَبَبًا لِخُرُوجِهِ مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ. They say Adam عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ committed the sin, and that sin which he committed was the reason behind him being expelled from paradise. Follow with me. لَكِنَّهُ تَابَ مِنَ الذَّنْبِ. However, he repented from that sin, didn't he? We just said it. فَتَلَقَّ آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ إِنَّهُ هُوَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah accepted his tawbah. وَبَعْدَ تَوْبَتِهِ اِجْتَبَاهُ اللَّهُ وَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ وَهَدَى. And after his repentance, Allah chose him, and Allah Azza wa Jal accepted his repentance and further guided him. Then he became a prophet. He was a prophet. وَالتَّائِبُ مِنَ الذَّنْبِ كَمَنْ لَا ذَنْبَ لَهُ. This is a principle in Islam. The one who repents from sin is equal to the one who is sinless. If someone committed shirk all his life, then he repented to Allah. And someone never committed shirk and he's always been on tawheed, when that person repents from all of the shirk, he is equal with that other person in terms of not being reliable for the sin. Of course, the one who's been on tawheed all his life is more virtuous in the sight of Allah. But in this regard, the one who never committed shirk is better than the one who committed shirk. That's why the prophets, even before their risala, they never fell into shirk. They were always protected by Allah from ever falling into any kind of character which defames them or belittles their status among their people. So when the message comes, the people will accept it. Ala kulli hal. So how did I get here? Yes, the one who then repents from a sin is like one who is free from sin. وَمِنَ الْمُحَالِ أَنَّ مُوسَى عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ وَهُوَ أَحَدُ أُولِي الْعَزْمِ مِنَ الرُّسُلِ يَلُومُ أَبَاهُ عَلَى شَيْءٍ تَابَ مِنْهُ ثُمَّ اجْتَبَاهُ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ وَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ وَهَدَى. It is impossible. Now, this is according to our belief in the messengers. Based on our aqidah and the Rasul of Allah, it is impossible that Musa, alayhi salam, and he's one of the messengers who were of strong determination, he would blame his father, because Adam is his father, like he's our father. He would blame his father for something which he has repented from, and Allah has favored Adam after, and Allah accepted his repentance and guided him. So here, he was not blaming his father for that sin. إِنَّمَا اللَّوْمُ عَلَى الْمُصِيبَ الَّتِي حَصَلَتْ بِفِعْلِهِ. Rather, the blame is for the calamity which came about from that sin. يعني, it's like the problem was so big. It's like, we're outside of Jannah and we have to earn back. And of course, you can imagine Musa dealing with Bani Israel and the effort he had to exert to try to guide them back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he is here talking about the consequence of that sin. That musibah, that calamity which befell us, is as a result of the sin. Not he is blaming his father for the sin, because he repented from the sin. What's the point? And Allah guided him. What's the point? So it is impossible that Musa will be on that line of thinking. It wouldn't be. Rather, what he was blaming him for in this sense is the musibah, the calamity which was the result of that sin. The sin, khalas. The sin is done. Allah repent. Allah accepted his repentance. He forgave him. He guided him. But the musibah, did it remain or not? We're living it right now. We're living it. Otherwise, we would have been chilling in paradise. But Allah decreed that this happens for the wisdom which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. وَهِيَ أَخْرَاجُ النَّاسُ وَنَفْسِي مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ. So the calamity is the people and Adam being expelled from Jannah. فَإِنَّ سَبَبْ هَذَا الْإِخْرَاجُ وَمَعْصِيَةَ أَدَمُ. What was the result of all of us being expelled from Jannah? The sin of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. على أن آدم عليه الصلاة والسلام لا شك أنه لم يفعل هذا ليخرج من الجنة حتى يلام، فكيف يلومه موسى؟ But we know that Adam didn't intentionally do this, so he may be expelled from Jannah and along with the people. So why would Musa blame him? وهذا وجه ظاهر في أن موسى عليه الصلاة والسلام لم يرد لوم آدم على فعل المعصية. This is clear that Adam was not blaming him for the sin itself. إنما على المصيبة التي هي من قدر الله. But the مصيبة which is from the قدر of Allah. The musibah which is from the qadr of Allah. For example, and I don't know if this example would make sense, but I'm thinking of it right now as we speak. You're in school, I guess, okay, and one student continues to misbehave with the teacher. And the teacher has threatened that if you continue to misbehave, all of you will fail the exam. I'm going to give all of you a big zero, as a gift. And so one of these students continues to talk and misbehave until the teacher finally says, okay, khalas, all of you, we'll get a zero and get out of my class. So now the two students go out of class and then they have this conversation. So one of them will say, because of you, all of us will get a zero. Okay, because of what happened with you. Not that he's, now the person can say, but khalas, I too late. What's the point of telling me now? We're all got a zero, we're outside of a class. So the qadr of Allah already came to pass, it's done. But you still blame him. Yeah, I know it's the qadr of Allah, but still look what happened to us now. You understand the idea? So here he's focusing on, look what's going on. Look at the suffering we're having. Not that he's blaming him because of your sin. But look at what happened because what happened as a consequence of the sin. So it's a really interesting observation that the ulama have. على كل حال, إنما على المصيبة التي من قدر الله وحينئذ يتبين أنه لا حجة بهذا الحديث الجبرية. There's no excuse for the جبرية with this hadith. فنحن نقبله ولا ننكره كما فعل القدري. We then accept the hadith and we don't reject it like the one who denies Qadr says. It's a hadith ahad, they rejected. ولكننا لا نحتج به على المعصية. But we don't use it as justifying or as an excuse for sin. كما فعل الجبري, as the one who's الجبري does. وهنالك جواب آخر يشار إليه ابن القيم رحمه الله. There's another answer which Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyya had also mentioned, which is the fourth position. Remember I told you there are four. قال الإنسان إذا فعل المعصية واحتج الإنسان بالقدر عليها بعد التوبة منها فلا بأس. Ibn Qayyim, now the first interpretation of that of Shaykh al-Islam رحمه الله. Ibn Qayyim is Ibn Taymiyyah's student. He had a different approach. His interpretation of the hadith said, look, the way he put it, if a human being does a sin, and then, turn around, we have another tape. Because I will knock it out. If a person does a sin, then he uses qadr as an excuse after having repented, then this is fine. So Ibn Qayyim said, the time when it is allowed is if you, like for example, you live the crazy life, and you committed many crimes in the past, and someone comes and says, yeah, how did you know, why did you do this? Say, listen man, khalas. That was back in the day. I've repented to Allah. Alhamdulillah. You can use qadr of Allah as something which has happened in the past and you have repented from. But you can't use it for sins which you're still doing. Say, that's the qadr of Allah. So that was Ibn Qayyim's approach. I like it. But ومعناها أنه لو لامك أحد على فعل المعصية بعد أن تبت منها وقلت هذا بقضاء الله وقدري وأستغفر الله وأتوب إليه وما أشبه ذلك فإنه لا حرج عليك في هذا. So basically, if someone blames you for a sin which you have done in the past, and then you have repented from that past, you can say this is the qadar of Allah, the qadar and the qadar of Allah. I seek Allah's forgiveness and I turn to Him in repentance, or words along these lines. The Shaykh said there's no harm in doing that. فَآدَمْ احْتَجَّ بِالْقَدَرِ بَعْدَ أَنْ تَبَ مِنْ. Because Adam used qadar as an excuse after he had repented to Allah. وَهَذَا لَا شَكْ أَنَّهُ وَجْهٌ حَسَنٌ. This is a good approach actually to this hadith. لكن يبعده أن موسى لا يمكن أن يلوم آدم على معصية تاب منها. But the Shaykh said still, it is not that strong because we still don't believe that Musa would ever blame Adam for a sin which he repented from. We stay on the asal that Musa is more knowledgeable and more knowledgeable for him to blame Adam for that, which is the safer position, really. ورجح ابن القيم رحمه الله قول هذا بما جرى للنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام حين ترك عليا وفاطمة رضي الله عنهما ليلى. And Ibn Qayyim used as supporting evidence for his position the what happened with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he knocked on the door of Ali and Fatima at night. فقال ألا تصليان, he said, why don't you pray? You know, I guess he heard them, you know, talking or whatever. So he's encouraging them to engage in salah. وأمر أهلك بالصلاة واصطبر عليها لا نسألك رزقا نحن نرزقك والعاقبة للتقوى. So he's reminding him of salah. So he knocked on the door and he said, ألا تصليان, يعني shouldn't you pray? Should you not be praying right now? فقال علي رضي الله عنه, علي said رضي الله عنه, يا رسول الله, O Messenger of Allah, أنفسنا بيد الله, our souls are in the hands of Allah. فإذا شاء أن يبعثنا بعثنا, if Allah wills to send us forth, He will send us forth. If Allah wishes to send us forth, He will send us forth. Meaning if He doesn't wish, He wouldn't. So either they were sleeping or they were talking. The bottom line is, I think actually they were sleeping. Prophet ﷺ said, should you not pray? So Ali said, you know, it's in the hands of Allah. If Allah wants us to pray, He will let us pray. If not, then not. So the Prophet ﷺ, he beat on his thigh, he slapped his own thigh while walking and said, وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ أَكْثَرَ شَيْءٍ جَدَلًا. And the son of Adam was the most, what's the term? There's another term. There's not argumentative, but there's another term that is more accurate. Something. Anyways, the son of Adam, you know, loves to argue. So this was the argument of Ali radiallahu anhu wa ardah. وعندي أن في هذا الاستدلال بهذا الحديث نظرا. Now Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen said, yeah, but Ibn Qayyim's quotation of this hadith requires further observation. لأن عليا احتج بالقدر بنومه. Ali رضي الله عنه, he used قدر as an excuse while he was sleeping. والإنسان النائم لا يحتج بالقدر. You can use what happened to you during your sleep and blame قدر. Yeah, if some people, you know, they do sleepwalk, right? And he may, you know, get up and punches, you know, some one of his family members. And if you come and talk to him, I say, hey, man, why did you punch your brother? Say, brother, I was sleeping. It's the qadr of Allah. Because I had no control. Isn't that valid? It's valid. Because you were sleeping, you were not in control. So the Shaykh said, see how, mashallah, tabarakallah, yani the observation of the ulama is amazing. لأن فعله لا ينسى بليه, because the action you do while you're sleeping is not, you know, if somebody blamed you for snoring all night, you can say, أخي, look, that's what Allah decreed from me. I can't control what I'm doing while I'm sleeping. ولهذا قال الله تعالى في أصحاب الكهف ونقلبهم ذات اليمين وذات الشمال. That's why Allah said, when the people of the cave were sleeping, it is Allah who turned them over in the right and left, so that their bodies will not be exposed to the sun all the time. فَنَسَبَ التَّقْلِيبُ إِلَيْهِ, Allah referred the act of turning them around to Himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala. مَعَ أَنَّهُمْ هُمُ الَّذِينَ تَقَلَّبُونَ, although who is the one really turning? They are turning. But who's turning them? Allah Azza wa Jal. لَكِنْ لَمَّا كَانَ بِغَيْرِ إِرَادَةً مِّنْهُمْ لَمْ يَضُفْهُ إِلَيْهِمْ, because it wasn't intentional, Allah did not refer that turning around to them. He referred it to Himself. It's Allah who turns them around because they were sleeping. And while you're sleeping, you're not blamed for what happens during your sleep. Is that clear? So that kind of, that usage of Ibn al-Qayyim for this hadith to support his understanding, that addition is weak. His understanding is still good, but that using that as a supporting evidence didn't really cut it. والوجه الأول في الجواب عن حديث آدم وموسى وهو ما ذهب إليه الشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله وهو الصواب. The stronger position is the first one which was interpreted by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, the one which you quoted in the beginning. That is the correct one. فَإِذَا لَا حُجَّةَ لِلْجَبَرِي بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ وَلَا لِلْعُصَاتِ الَّذِينَ يَحْتَجُّونَ بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ لِاحْتِجَاجِهِمْ بِالْقَدَرِ. So there's no evidence or proof for the Jabari using this hadith, nor the disobedient who use Qadr as an excuse to justify their disobedience. فَنَقُولُ لَهُ, we say to him, إن احتجاجك بالقدر على المعاصي يبطله السمع والعقل والواقع. You say to the one who will use Qadr as an excuse for sins, your argument of using qadar as an excuse for sin is refuted and negated by sam', aql, and waqi'. I wonder whether you remember the early lessons. What is sam'? When we say sam', what does that mean? How did we translate that to English? Because it was a lot, it was a huge difference in the translation. Fine, hearing. But when we say al-adilla sam'iyya wal-adilla al-aqliyya, what does sam'iyya mean then? Stop listening.
Hearing.
Fine. And what? Hearing what? Listening to what? Sam' is hearing. What do you hear? When you say evidence, an evidence which you hear, what is that? Quran and Sunnah. Guys, remember we said it was called Adilla Sam'iyya. We said we in Arabic you say Adilla Sam'iyya. Sam'a, and we translate as textual evidence. Textual evidence. Meaning, why is it called Sam'iyya? Because you hear the Quran and you hear the Sunnah. You hear them. So whenever the ulama say Ad-dalilu sam'iyya or Ad-dilla sam'iyya or Sam'a, what they mean by that is the textual evidences which you hear from the Quran and the Sunnah. Not anything. Not hearing anything, but hearing that in particular. Al-Adilla al-Aqliya is what? Intellectual, logical, rational evidence. Waqi', what does waqi' mean? Waqi' is like the facts. The real life. The facts, the things which you're living now. So you tell the person who uses qadr as excuse, look, I have textual evidences to prove to you that you can't use qadr for your sins. I have logical, rational excuses, answers, I'm sorry, and the fact, the life which we're living, what you see and you hear in your own eyes and with your own ears, prove that you cannot use them as an excuse, and the Shaykh will elaborate on each. فَأَمَّا السَّمَعَ, as for the textual evidence, فَقَدْ قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى سَيَقُولُ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا لَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَا أَشْرَكْنَا ولا آباؤنا ولا حرمنا من شيء كذلك كذب الذين من قبلهم حتى ذاقوا بأسنا. سورة الأنعام آيه 22. Those who associate partners with Allah, they will say, had Allah willed, we would have never associated partners with Him, nor would have our forefathers, nor had we would have made anything haram or prohibited. Such belied those who came before them until our wrath came to them, until they tasted our wrath and punishment. Now, they're trying to say, the mushrikeen, and we said that in the lecture, do I have a choice? From back in the day, the mushrikeen are using the qadr of Allah as an excuse. They're saying, look, it's the will of Allah that I'm a mushrik, and it's the will of Allah that my forefather was a mushrik. And had Allah willed, meaning had Allah not decreed that, I wouldn't be a mushrik, my father would be a mushrik, and we would have never made anything haram which Allah made halal. And so they're using what? The qadr as an excuse for their shirk. What did Allah say? كَذَلِكَ كَذَّبَ الَّذِينَ مِن قَبْلِهِمْ. Similarly, those who came before them belied. So what did Allah call them? Liars. Meaning their use of qadr is what? A lie. And Allah didn't accept it. So Allah refuted that automatically. قَالُوا ذَلِكَ احْتِجَازًا بِالْقَدْرِ عَلَى الْمَعْصِيَةِ. They said that as means of justifying their sin through qadr. فَقَالَ تَعَالَى كَذَّبَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. So those who came before them also belied. يعني كَذَّبُوا الرُّسُلُ وَاحْتَجُوا بِالْقَدْرِ. They belied the messenger and they used the qadr as an excuse for their for belying. حَتَّى ذَاقُوا بَأْسَنَا وَهَذَا يَدُلُّ عَلَى أَنَّ حُجَّتَهُمْ بَاطِلَةٌ. إِذْ لَوْ كَانَتْ حُجَّةً مَقْبُولَةً مَا ذَقُوا بَأْسَ اللَّهِ. Allah said, until they tasted our wrath and punishment. The Shaykh said, this proves that their evidence was false. Otherwise, had it been acceptable, Allah wouldn't have punished them. Allah wouldn't have made them taste their wrath had they been valid, had their claim been valid. had their claim that qadar, by qadar we're mushrik, had it been acceptable, Allah would have neither said they're liars, nor would He have punished them. The fact that Allah said that they're liars and He punished them, meaning that Allah doesn't accept this excuse. Meaning it is not the, don't use the qadar as an excuse. You're a mushrik because you want to be a mushrik. Allah gave you the choice. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنُ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرُ. Allah gave us a choice. Whoever wishes to believe, believe. And whoever wishes to disbelieve, disbelieve. It's a free will which Allah gave the people. Otherwise, He wouldn't put him in Jahannam if He forced them to disbelieve. They have to choose disbelief. وَدَلِيلٌ سَمْعِيٌ أَخَرٌ. There's another textual evidence. قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى إِنَّا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ كَمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى نُوحٍ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ. Until Allah said, رُسُلًا مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنذِرِينَ لِأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَى اللَّهِ حُجَّةً أَوْ حُجَّةٌ عَفْوًا بَعْدَ الرُّسُلِ. Verily we have inspired you as we have inspired Nuh and the prophets before you. That until Allah said in the ayah in Surah An-Nisa, رُسُلًا, messengers, مُبَشِّرِينَ, bearers of glad tidings, وَمُنذِرِينَ, and warners. لِأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَى اللَّهِ حُجَّةٌ بَعْدَ الرَّسُولِ. So that no one, no, the people will not have an excuse before Allah after the messengers have been sent. They will not have an excuse that we didn't know it was the qadr of Allah. So this is the hikmah. وَجُّ دِلَالَ فِي هَذِي الْآيَةِ أَنَّهُ لَوْ كَانَ الْقَدَرْ حُجَّةٌ مَا بَطَلَتْ بِإِرْسَالِ الرَّسُولِ. Had qadr been a reliable or a justifiable excuse, it wouldn't have been affected by the sending of messengers. If that was acceptable, then whether messengers were sent or not, it's irrelevant because it's the qadr of Allah that these people remain mushrikeen. So when Allah said that He sent the messengers so that it would be proof against the people, no one will say, I didn't know. It means qadr has nothing to do with it in this regard, in like this. Otherwise, it will be pointless to send the messenger. But the messengers have to be sent. They convey the message. Then the people will not have an excuse before Allah that the message came to them. So it would negate that. وَذَلِكَ لِأَنَّ الْقَدَرَ لَا يَبْطُلُ بِإِرْسَالِ الرُّسُلِ بَلْ هُوَ بَقٍ. Qadr is not negated, is not invalidated by the sending of messengers. Qadr will remain until the end. فَإِذَا قَالَ قَائِلٌ يَرُدُّ عَلَيْكَ فِي الدَّلِيلِ الْأَوَّلِ قَوْلُ اللَّهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى أَوْ يَرِدُّ عَلَيْكَ فِي الدَّلِيلِ الْأَوَّلِ قَوْلُ اللَّهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى فِي سُورَةِ الْأَنْعَامِ اتَّبِعْ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْمُشْرِكِينَ وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَا أَشْرَكُوا وَمَا جَعَلْنَاكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَفِيظًا وَمَا أَنْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِوَكِيلٍ. Follow that which has been revealed unto you from your Lord. There's none worthy of worship but He. And avoid and stay away and turn away from the mushrikeen. And then Allah said, had Allah willed, they would have never associated partners with Him. Now here you have to understand the context. Had Allah willed, they would have never associated partners with Him. وَمَا جَعَلْنَاكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَفِيظًا. We have not placed you as a guardian over them. وَمَا أَنْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِوَكِيلًا. And you're not the one who, you know, over protects them and looks after them. فَهُنَا قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَا أَشْرَكُوا. Now notice, earlier the mushrikeen said, if Allah willed, we would have not committed shirk. Allah said they have lied. Now Allah is Himself is saying, had Allah willed, they would have never committed shirk. How is that? What is the difference between them? Earlier we said this is unacceptable. Didn't we? Didn't we say it is not an excuse? طيب. When the mushrikeen said, لو شاء الله ما أشركنا ولا أباؤنا. If Allah willed, we wouldn't have committed shirk, nor our forefathers. We said, and Allah said they lied. So then that is not an excuse. Now Allah Himself is telling us, had Allah willed, they would have not committed any shirk. So what? Very good. Here, akhi, we have to differentiate between what the mushrikeen are saying and what Allah is saying. When a mushrik says to you, when he wants to use the qadr for his sin, we reject it. But when Allah Azza wa Jal says something which He decreed, done. That's Allah Azza wa Jal. There's a difference between what Allah said and what the mushrikeen. So when the sinner uses it as a sin, we don't accept it. But in the final decree of Allah, isn't it that Allah decreed in His universal will that shirk exists? It is. Did it happen against Allah's will? Never. So in that regard, Allah willed it. Because if Allah didn't will it, no one would have committed shirk. But that doesn't mean when they use it, they're not using it like that. They're using it to justify the shirk. Allah is telling us about facts. You understand the difference? وقول صحيح جائز لقول لكن قول المشرك ولو شاء الله ما أشركوا يريد أن يحتج بالقدر على المعصية قول باطل والله عز وجل إنما قال لرسوله هكذا تسلية له وبيانا أن ما وقع فهو بمشيئة الله. Why did Allah say to the Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام that in order to make things easy for him, to console him عليه الصلاة والسلام, that what is happening is only by the decree of Allah. Don't grieve. لعلك باخع نفسك على أثارهم إن لم يؤمنوا بهذا الحديث أسف. You may kill yourself out of grief if they don't believe. Allah is relieving His Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. He's making him feel better. Don't worry. It's all happening by my will. Nothing is happening. Don't. ما أنت عليهم بوكيل. You're not their protector. You did ما على الرسول إلا البلاغ المبين. You convey the message and خلاص. If they're going to commit shirk, Allah decreed that they will do that. It doesn't mean that they can come and say, well, Allah allowed it, so we can commit it. No. Your job is to obey the messenger and leave alone shirk. So this is how you look at these two things. Whoa, mashallah, in this fashion. Beautiful. Tayyib. Then there's, wow, I thought we would finish. We can, inshallah. وأما الدليل العقلي على بطلان احتجاج العاصي بالقدر على معصية الله أن نقول له ما الذي علمك بأن الله قدر لك أن تعصيه قبل أن تعصيه. As for the rational, logical evidence for to show the invalidity of those who use qadr for their sin as an excuse for the sin, we say to him, how did you know that Allah decreed that you will sin or you will disobey Him before you disobeyed Him? How did you know? فنحن جميعا لا نعلم ما قدر الله إلا بعد أن يقع. We all don't know what will happen until after Allah decrees it. We don't know what Allah decreed until after it happens. I'm sorry. We don't know what Allah decreed until after it happens. Did you know before?
No.
طيب. أما قبل أن يقع فلا ندري ماذا يراد بنا. Before it happens, we don't know what is decreed for us. فنقول للعاصي هل عندك علم قبل أن تمارس المعصية أن الله قدر لك المعصية. You say to the sinner, do you have knowledge before you committed the sin, before you lit that cigarette, did you know that Allah decreed it for you? Can he say yes?
No.
Before that he didn't know. Now that he's smoking, obviously Allah decreed it. But before that, did he know? He did not know. إذن لماذا لم تقدر أن الله قدر لك الطاعة وتطيع الله. Why did you not assume then, instead of assuming that you will, Allah decreed that you smoke a cigarette, why did you not assume that Allah had decreed that you obey Him and then you obeyed Him? Turn the tables around. فالباب أمامك مفتوح. The door is open before you. فلماذا لم تدخل من الباب الذي تراه مصلحة لك. Why did you not go through the door in which you know there is a benefit for you? لأنك لا تعلم ما قدر لك. You don't know what is decreed for you. واحتجاج الإنسان بحجة على أمره فعله قبل أن تتقدم حجته على فعله احتجاج باطل. For someone to do something before, to use the decree as an excuse before he actually does it is invalid, because you don't know what has been decreed for you in the future. لأن الحجة لابد أن تكون طريقا يمشي به الإنسان إذ أن الدليل يتقدم المدلول. So the evidence which one presents must be something which is harmonious with the son of Adam, because the evidence must come before that which is it is referring to. ونقول له أيضا, and we say to him also, ألست لو ذكر لك أن لمكة طريقين أحدهما طريق معبد آمن وثاني طريق صعب مخوف ألست تسلك الأمن عفوا. We say to him, if somebody told you Mecca, for you to go to Mecca, there are two ways. One which is paved and safe, and another one which is rough and, you know, and scary. It's a very difficult road. Which one? Would you not take the safer road? Anyone. Would anyone, unless he has a Hummer, and he really wants to show us, you know, his driving skills. But the average person say, I'll take the paved way. سأقول بلى فنقول إذا لماذا تسلك في عبادتك الطريق المخوف المحفوف بالأخطار. Then why then in terms of acts of worship, in terms of your deen, do you travel upon a path which is rough and full of danger? وتدع الطريق الآمن الذي تكفل الله تعالى لمن سلكه. And you leave the road which is safe and paved and secure. The one concerning whom Allah promised. The one who travels upon it, الذين آمنوا ولم يلبسوا إيمانهم بظلم أولئك لهم الأمن وهم مهتدون. Those who believe and they do not confuse their belief with any shirk, it, to them is the security and they are the ones who are rightly guided. وهذه حجة واضحة. And at the end, the last paragraph, ونقول له لو أعلنت الحكومة عن وظيفتين. If the government declares the availability of two jobs, إحداهما بالمرتبة العالية, one which is high status, والثانية بالمرتبة السفلى, and one is the least status. فأيهما تريد? Which one would you ask for? Well, you want to be the مدير. Nobody wants to be under a مدير. Everybody wants to be a مدير. بلا شك سيريد المرتبة العالية. Without a doubt, he would want to be the one in charge. وهذا يدل على أنك تأخذ بالأكمل في أمور دنياك. This indicates that you always choose what is best when it comes to the matters of your dunya. فلماذا لم تأخذ بالأكمل في أمور دينك? Why don't you use the same methodology in the matters of your religion? وهل هذا إلا تناقض بينك? Isn't that contradiction on your end? وبهذا يتبين أنه لا وجه أبدا لاحتجاج العاصي بالقدر على معصية الله. يعني Allah told you this is path to Jannah and this is path to Jahannam. And you do the things which lead to Jahannam, then you say, well, this is the qadr of Allah. Why? Why did you assume that Allah decreed that you will disobey Him? Why did you not assume Allah decrees that you will obey Him and you will do the good like you do in the matters of the dunya? Very silencing refutation. And that ends our discussion on qadr. And we will be initiating a new chapter, inshallah ta'ala. Very important chapter, fil iman, concerning faith, creed, belief, and different words which are used in English to, denote the meaning in Arabic. So make sure you make it, inshallah, next Saturday, bi-idhnillah, for the continuation of the dars. Wa jazakum la khairan, wa sallallahu sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.
Friday lessons
Yeah, we had this class this Friday.